What a song. Why would you ever be anxious if that's so? Near, so near to God, near I cannot be. In the person of his dear son, I'm as near to God as he. Dear, so dear to God, dearer I cannot be. The same love wherewith he loves his son, that's the love he loves to me. Luke chapter 8. I've entitled this message, Take Heed How You Hear. Take heed how you hear. Now, this is what the Savior says. The Savior says to his disciples, You take heed how you hear. You know, it's a dangerous thing to hear the gospel. What we're doing right now, it's dangerous. Take heed how you hear. In Mark's account, it says, take heed what you hear. And that is certainly just as important. What you're hearing may or may not be the Word of God. I want to hear the Word of God. I don't want to hear the Word of Todd. I don't want to hear the Word of men. I want to hear the Word of God. Take heed what you hear, and take heed how you hear. Now, notice he says in verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. Now, whenever you see a therefore in the Scriptures, and it's in there so often, look what it's there for. What is he referring to when he says, take heed, therefore, how you hear? Verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now, let's talk for a few moments about light. We have light in this room, don't we? What would happen if we turned off the lights in here? Be dark. That was Aubrey's first joke. She said, close your eyes. I closed them because it's dark. That was really cute from her. Might not have been so dark, but cute from somebody else, but it was cute from her. The purpose of light is to see. Ephesians 5:13 says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. If I'm in a room with no light, I cannot see. Light spreads the truth. Light spreads reality. When the light is turned on, we see things as they really are. That is the purpose of light. Light, like God, is invisible, but we cannot see without it. That's an amazing analogy. What the light exposes is either loved or hated by the one who sees. Do you remember the Lord's words in John chapter 3? This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They did not like what the light exposed about them. Light exposes us. Light shows what we really are. I say once again, light spreads reality. Light is not given merely to expose our sinfulness, but light is given to show us who God is and how He saves sinners by His grace. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, it's expressed both positively and negatively. Positively, God is light. And negatively, in him is no darkness at all. This is God's nature. When light enters, I love the way when you go into a dark room, every morning I stumble upstairs into my study. It's dark, I can't see. I grope around trying to find the light switch. When I turn it on, the light floods into the room. When the light enters, darkness flees away. Darkness cannot stand before light. It can't fight it off. It flees away. Light is diffusive. It penetrates. Nothing can stand against it. Think about how totally dependent we are upon light. Well, we couldn't eat if we didn't have sunlight. I mean, the sunlight, that's the basic, the lowest part, the most important part of the food chain, photosynthesis. And what happens out of that? It's the building block of everything we eat. Light has what is called, and I think I'm pronouncing this right, this is a big word, inviolability. What's it mean? It means it can come into contact with all things and be affected by nothing. The light can come into contact with the dunghill, and it's not affected in any way. That is our God. He is light. Turn with me for a moment to John chapter 8. We're going to come back to 1 John in a minute, but turn with me to John chapter 8. And when he's talking about taking heed how you hear, he's talking about light. Verse 12. The Lord Jesus said, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, why did he say this? I am the light of the world. Now, he said this directly after one of my favorite stories in the Gospels. Look in verse 1 of John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. There were eyewitnesses that had seen her. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this feigned respect, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Now, I looked up every reference to the adulterer being stoned. And you know, with every reference in the Old Testament, it always had the man and the woman. Every time. Where was the man here? It's interesting, isn't it? They take the woman. I kind of think this was some kind of setup. They wanted to find out what they could do to the Lord, so they put this woman in a position where she could fall. They had the man do this. They let him go. They brought her because they thought, we've got the Lord in a position where he can't possibly win. Now, Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Now, here's what they thought. If he says, let her go, we can say, where is your respect for God's holy law? God's holiest law says to stone her. And if you let her go, all you prove by that is you don't have a true respect for God's holy law. And if he says, stone her, then we can say, why, you've said you're the friend of publicans and sinners. Where's your mercy that you speak of? They thought, we've got him in a fix, in a no-win situation, we can expose him. Boy, they thought, what is even more humorous than that is they thought that they could trick omniscience. This is he who has all wisdom. So what does he do? Verse 6, but Jesus stooped down with his finger. He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I love the deportment of our Lord at this time. He acted like, I'm not listening to you guys. He was writing on the ground. And I know that we are only speculating. Many people have speculated what he was writing when he wrote on the ground. It's a speculation. But I believe that he wrote, thou shalt not commit adultery. Remember when the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments? Here once again we have the finger of God writing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you. And beloved, I believe he's talking about that sin. I don't think he's talking about sin in a generic sense. He's talking about that particular sin. And if you haven't committed it physically, you've committed it in your heart. And that is just as bad in God's sight. The Lord said, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her in his heart hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. He that's without sin, throw the first rock. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I like to think of what he was writing again when he stooped. You know, there's only two times we read in the Bible where the finger of God wrote. First, he wrote the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the other time is in Daniel chapter 5, where we read of that hand that wrote on the wall. The hand of God. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. They saw what he was writing. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. You know, they felt guilty. You know, in reality, I'm being a hypocrite. I've done this, and here I am trying to get her condemned. But notice it was their own conscience. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because if it was the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have left Christ. They would have fallen at his feet asking for mercy. But it was their own conscience. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I love to think about this. All these fellows had left, and there is the Lord Jesus Christ, and this woman alone, scared, didn't know what was going to take place. Verse 10, and when Jesus had lifted himself up. Now this is the second time in this story he lifts himself up. He stooped twice to write. He lifted up himself twice. Now, when our Lord walked upon this earth, he had two stoops, didn't he? What a stoop when the mighty Creator took upon flesh and took upon him all the limitations of being a man. What a stoop when the Word was made flesh. But there was another stoop that was even greater. When the Word who was made flesh was made sin. What a stoop that was when He bore our sin in His own body on the tree. What a stoop that was when the vileness that's in every one of His people was placed upon Him. What a stoop. So now when He lifts Himself up again, He's speaking to that woman on resurrection ground. And look what he says. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. You know the reason he didn't condemn her? There wasn't anything to condemn her for. That is the power of the blood of Christ. There was nothing to condemn her for. I do not condemn you because there's nothing to condemn you for. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He is the light of how God can look at me and say, there's nothing to condemn me for. Now, go back to our text, go back to 1 John. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. The light of God's holiness looks over the believer and says there's nothing to condemn him for. The light exposes things as they really are. This is the way I really am, without guilt. Now let's go on reading verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say, well, I pray, I read His Word, I speak to Him, He speaks to me, we have communion, I walk with Him, I've got a relationship with God, I've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know Him, He knows me. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. Now that walking in darkness, somebody says, well, that means, you know, they're living a double life. They're claiming to be a Christian, yet in the dark, when nobody sees, they're doing unclean and sinful things and evil things. Now, don't do that, but that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the darkness of salvation by works. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we're liars. And we do not tell the truth. It's not even real. Now, the light of the gospel. Look what he says in verse 7. But if we walk in the light of how God can look at me and say, I don't condemn you. That's what the light, that's the light of the gospel. That's the very message of the scriptures. The light of how God can accept me, how he can look at me and say, there's nothing to condemn you for. And it's real. It's real. It's not just hyperbole, it's real. That I'm holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight by the blood of Christ. And the reason he says I'm holy and unblameable and unprovable is because I am in fact holy and unblameable and unreprovable through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's light. If there's nothing unjust about it, there's nothing sinful about it, it's light. God embraces someone without guilt. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. I love to think of the Lord dwelling in the light. What's it say? It says we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice, he doesn't talk about there not being any sin, but he talks about us being cleansed from all sin. And we have true fellowship in the gospel. Now, the only people that I can have fellowship with are people who see themselves as nothing but sin and Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. I can have fellowship with that person. But that person who doesn't feel that way, that person who sees themselves in a little bit different light, I got no fellowship with that person. You know, in reality, I know they're not even being honest. They don't even have any light. Because if you have light, what does light do? Light exposes you for who you are, But light also exposes how God can love you and accept you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. You think of the light of the cross. Just real simply, you think of the light of the cross. The cross, you can't know God apart from the cross. But the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ displays every one of His attributes. I mean, the glory of the cross. The cross demonstrates His sovereignty. Two thieves on either side. One He saved, one He passed by. The cross displays His holiness. When sin is found on His Son, He won't spare Him. The cross is His justice. Sin must be punished. The cross demonstrates His mercy, love, and grace for sinners, that He'd give Himself for that. I mean, every attribute of God is wisdom, His power, putting away sin. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the whole counsel of God, and it demonstrates who He is. But the cross also gives the light of who me and you are. Now, I'm looking at some people that I admire, fine people, wonderful people, humanly speaking, salt of the earth. Also know this, you know what the cross says about you? It says you're so evil that you'd kill God if you had the chance. That's what the cross says. And the one time God left men to themselves and let them do what they wanted to do, the scripture says, Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. There's man's will right there. And they put Him to death. And the cross gives the truth. I love this. The cross gives the truth about salvation. You see, the cross tells me that salvation is not in any way dependent upon me. It's dependent upon what He has done. And I flat love it that way. I wouldn't want it to be any other way, would you? Oh, how we love the light of the cross. Now turn back to our original text in Luke 8. Verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which may enter in may see the light. Now the purpose of preaching, the purpose of telling the truth, is not to cover it up, but to make it to where everybody can see it. I want, and you want, everybody to see the light of the gospel. And look what he says in verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now with regard to our sin, we try and hide our sins from men, but they cannot be hidden from God. We might not know we're so sinful and self-serving. We may think we're pretty good people. I mean, better than most. I mean, you compare me to somebody else, I can look pretty good. We may think we're in good shape, but it will all be exposed. Sin that we see so clearly in other people, but we don't see it so clearly in ourselves. The light will expose it. May God give us light. I want light, don't you? The cross strips away all of our religious coverings and exposes what we really are. Nothing escapes. The light does not lie. Now listen to this. Listen to this. When the searchlight of God's holiness looks me over through and through, that light that has no darkness at all, no darkness will be found. I will be pure and clean, without sin, without guilt, without fault. The scripture says holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Turn with me for a moment to Jeremiah 50. Hold your finger there in Luke and turn to Jeremiah 50. Now, do you reckon if God looks for something, He could find it? If God's looking for something, can he find it? You better bet. Whatever he looks for, if it's there, he can find it. And Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse 20. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. Now, if it was there, God could find it. But this shows the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. God himself, in his holiness, is going to look for my iniquity, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Now that's what the light shows. That's God's light. God's light looks me over. Now, back to our text. The Lord said in verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. Now that's the Savior saying that. After he talks about light and how everything's going to be exposed. If we're hypocrites, it'll be made known. If he's done something for us, it'll be made known. Nothing's going to escape the light. Take heed therefore how ye hear. And then he says this. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have a heart to receive? Is he giving you this new heart that actually believes the gospel? Do you hear the gospel and you find hope in this message? Now, he that hath has this honest and good heart that is spoken of in the previous parable, that new heart that he gives, that hears the word of God and bears fruit. He that hath, to him shall be given. Oh, the Lord is so gracious in dealing out his glorious gifts. To him that hath, he'll have given. But whosoever hath not, you don't have this heart, you don't have faith, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, from him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. He thinks he's got some stuff, but it's all going to be taken away. Take heed how you hear. Don't be nonchalant about this. When you come in here to hear, don't come in here with a bad attitude or a critical attitude or a judgmental attitude. Don't come presuming. May I have this attitude. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. Now, I want to give you 7 things real quick about hearing. And they all go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. First 7 letters of the alphabet. When I hear. Now the Lord said, take heed how you hear. First, hear attentively. Listen to what is being said. And what you hear attentively, hear retentively as well. Keep it. But hear attentively. Come in here to hear what's being said. Like Cornelius, we're here to hear all the things that God hath said to you. Hear attentively. Here's the B. Hear believingly. Believing what God has said. Has God said it? Then I believe it. I believe what he has said. C. Hear candidly. Hear candidly. Honestly. Free from prejudice. You know what prejudice means? Prejudging. Prejudging. Have an open and a fair wanting to hear what God said. Be honest. Don't be open to what God has said. Hear the word candidly. D, Hear the word devoutly. Hear with reverence and fear. This is the word of God. The only way to hear this is it devoutly, with reverence. And E, hear the word of God earnestly. With heart and soul. Sincerity, hear it earnestly. And F, hear the word of God feelingly. The whole man moved, the heart plowed, faith increased, love to God stirred up, zeal for Him. Hear the word of God feelingly. And G, hear the word of God gratefully. Aren't you glad to hear the word of God? Now that is the only way to hear the gospel. The Lord said, take heed how you hear. Remember, the Lord said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So take heed how you hear. Pray for the preacher and pray for yourself. Pray for the preacher and pray for yourself that you'd have ears to hear. Now, if the truth is being preached, if the truth of God's word is being preached, and I'm not being blessed by it, there's either something wrong with the preacher or there's something wrong with me. If the truth is being preached and I'm not being blessed by it, it could be that that preacher is in some kind of bad way. He's not walking in fellowship with the Lord and he's just spouting out doctrine and it's not really coming from his heart. And you're not going to be blessed by that. No matter how good it is, who says something is just as important as what he says. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if somebody is not living what they believe, you can't really hear them. And even if what they say is true, it doesn't really mean anything to you. And I understand that. But if the truth is being preached, it may not be the problem with the preacher. The problem may be with you. That's where I'd look first. That's where I'd look first. Somebody says, well, you got dry doctrine. Well, maybe you just got a dry heart. Take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. And take heed how you hear. This is a dangerous thing, isn't it? This is a dangerous thing. I want to be someone who hears. And I'm more concerned about hearing than I am preaching. Yeah, it takes the grace of God to hear the gospel. Lord, give me hearing ears. May I just be like Samuel. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Cry with David. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You ever prayed that? Make me to hear. I can't even hear. I can't hear the gospel. It just bounces off my heart like water off a duck's back. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. May we be hearers of the word. Let's pray together.